Well, greetings, friends around the world. Here is the advance news that the world's among. The big headlines that you're going to read. The big news of today is merely a part of the pattern which is leading up to the still bigger news yet to come. The big news of today is the bigger world-shaking events to come. It's a very little value, except the passing interest, unless you know the plain truth back of the big news of today. Where they're leading, where these news items are leading, what is going to be the outcome. You're living in this world, you're going to live into the world tomorrow. You're going to live into these things, you're going to see these things happen, read these news items in your newspaper. And news announcers don't tell you the real significance. Editors, news analysts, statesmen, none of them tells you the meaning. They don't know the meaning themselves. No one can understand the big news of the world today unless he also understands biblical prophecy. The statesmen can't understand it. They don't know the way to world peace because they don't know the way that's in the Bible. They don't know what is going to happen. They don't know the meaning of today's events leading up to the future events unless they know the purpose being worked out here below. There is a purpose. There is a meaning to these things. And everything that's going on in the world today, all of the big events, are merely part of a pattern that has been predestined, that has all been announced actually in advance, so that if you understand, you can tell what's going to happen tomorrow, next year, the year after, in 5, 10, 15 years from now. Now, I have said repeatedly that Jesus Christ was the greatest news pastor who ever lived. His message, his gospel was news. It was news of the future of the world, centuries, millenniums before the events were to take place. And you know those events are taking place right now that he forecast over 1900 years ago. Today, scientists tell us that the weapons are available. They're in production that can blast all human life from off this planet. You know, my friends, that Jesus Christ told the world the same thing 1900 years earlier, but the world didn't listen to him. It isn't listening very much to the scientists that tell us that today. These modern scientists, world-famous scientists, tell us that they are frankly frightened. They know what's coming. Yes, they're working on it. They're the ones who are producing these things, and they know what awful things they're producing. And they're frightened. But most of you are not frightened. Most of you are just calm, casual, going along as if it's a lot of poppycock and nothing is ever going to happen. Let me tell you, my friends, these things are happening. And other things are going to happen. Now, Jesus Christ told the whole world that all mankind, all human life, would be blasted out of the existence of this earth if a certain thing didn't happen 1900 years ago. The disciples had come to Jesus Christ privately in what is called the Olivet Prophecy. It's in Matthew 24, it's in Luke the 21st chapter, Mark the 13th chapter, three different reporters, so to speak, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all reporting the same speech by the great newscaster Jesus Christ. And they asked him, what would be the sign of these events in the far, far future in our day today? Now, the climax he came to in verse 21, where he said, and then, finally, just ahead of us now it is, I'm going to show you in just a moment, shall be great tribulation, that is, time of world chaos, of world disturbance and upset, of violence. A great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Something that will never happen again, it never happened before. The greatest time of world violence, of world convulsions, of violent upsets, catastrophic events that have ever happened in all the history of the world that will never even happen again. And he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. That is the 21st, the 22nd verses of Matthew 24. But he said, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That is news, and that is good news. For the elect's sake, those days are going to be shortened. There aren't very many of the elect today. You know who the elect are? You better be thankful for them. Most of you sneer at them if you ever meet one of them. Most of you hold them in contempt. You better be thankful because, for their sake, you, who would otherwise thought, are going to be saved alive. Well, let me read it to you. Here it is, just a couple of verses farther down. In verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The very elect are the ones that even the false preachers cannot deceive. And the false preachers are sometimes very sincere. They themselves were born not knowing a thing when they were little babies. They grew up. They were taught this, they were taught that. This and that and the other thing was stuffed into their minds. They believed it, they accepted it, just as you have accepted what's been stuffed into your mind. They came up in this world. They were taught certain theological ideas. They were taught certain religious teachings and ideas. And they have come to do this. They decided, many of them, just like so many young men decide, I would like to be a doctor, I would like to be a dentist, I would like to be an architect or something. So the doctor takes pre-med and college, and then he goes on to medical school, and then he becomes an intern, and after a great many years of teaching and learning and practice, he becomes a practicing physician, and he still practices. And the dentist goes to dental school, and the architect takes the architect's course in college or university, and so it goes. And some of them say, well, I want to be a minister. And so they go to the theological school or the seminary, and there they are taught what? They're taught what other men have written in books and given to them, very largely. That is, mostly. A little bit of the Bible, yes, but mostly other things, if you have ever attended one of them. And so they are forced, as it were, by circumstances to grow up believing what they're taught, believing what the people around them believe. And when you're in a deceived world, and the whole world is believing things that are not true, you're going to accept it along with the world, and you may be ever so honest and ever so sincere. And there's a lot of that going on, and that's the very thing that Jesus Christ was foretelling right here. Now, he said that except those days be cut short by divine power, there would no flesh be saved alive. Now let me tell you something else, my friend. A lot of you people find that God is very unreal. A lot of you are really agnostics at heart. You're not sure there is a God. You sort of assume there must be, but God is pretty much of a mystic, mysterious phantom way off somewhere so far away that he becomes unreal. God is not very real to you. Let me tell you, unless God is real, unless God exists, and unless God stops this hellish mess that men are bringing on themselves, there will not be a man, a woman, or a child left on earth 25 years from now. Unless there is a God that will intervene in what men are doing. In all of this so-called scientific and technological research and production, there will not be a man, a woman, or a child left on this earth in about 25 years. You'd better believe there is a God. You'd better believe that there is a power, an intelligent God, a personal God of love, and one of compassion and mercy who looks down on this plight that men are bringing on themselves and has the power and the ability to step in and to stop this thing that men are doing to themselves. I know there is such a God. I can prove it. I can prove it by the laws of science. I can prove it by rational processes of reasoning that exclude any other possibility. I can prove it by many infallible proofs. As a matter of fact, biblical prophecy proves. And that's exactly what we're coming to. Biblical prophecy is merely the future history of the world written out before it happens. Yes, it is the news of tomorrow. And do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ was good news of the world tomorrow? In other words, of the kingdom of God. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached was that message about the kingdom of God. The very word gospel means news. It means good news. And there is good news for the far future after man has come to the end of his rope. God has made man a free moral agent. God Almighty has a purpose. He's working out here below. The Almighty God has mapped out 6,000 years for men to go their own way. For men to be, as he made them, free moral agents. For men to have accessible, if they would listen, the laws and the things that God set in motion, the knowledge of the very laws of God, of the way to peace, of the way to happiness, to prosperity, to joy, and to abundant living, that man also is able to devise ideas and ways of his own and to make his own decisions. He has his own volition and he can go the other way, and that's what man has been doing. God made it so that man could reject God and reject God's way and go his own way. And God is not forcing any man to turn to him and to his way. So men have cut themselves off from God by going the other way. Men have gone the way that seemed right to a man. And in your Bible there is the statement that there is a way that seemeth right, not wrong, but right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The violence and unhappiness and of misery curses during this life, and finally the ways of death. That's the way mankind has been going. Yes, there is a mixture in this world of good and evil, and there is a mixture of happiness and of unhappiness and sorrow and suffering. And there's so much discontent. Oh, we got something that thrills us for a little bit. We got something that we get a lot of enjoyment out of for a minute, but it isn't lasting. It isn't lasting. And then comes the regret. And then comes the feelings of guilt. And then comes the heartache, the headache, and the despondency, the frustration. And you know that this world is pretty well filled with those things.
Herbert W. Armstrong will return in a moment. But first, this offer concerning literature of related interest. Why were you born? To become a farmer trying to feed the population bomb? To become an entertainer to give people a fleeting moment of laughter? To be a millionaire with big houses and fancy cars and ulcers? To live out your last days on the end of a plastic tube in a hospital? To be the last to die in a war you don't understand? Is that all there is to human existence? Just putting in your time on a troubled planet? No. There is a great purpose for your life. A reason you draw breath. And you need to know what it is. Read the free booklet, Why Were You Born? This knowledge gives reason to life. Adds meaning to all you do. For a true added dimension to your life, be sure to read, Why Were You Born? Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
Well now, Jesus Christ foretold these things that I've just mentioned. These new weapons of mass destruction are bringing an intensified renewal right now of the talk and speculation about the end of the world. Now is that a mere catchphrase, the end of the world? You hear men talking about, is the world coming to an end? Well, who started all of this talk about the world coming to an end, or the end of the world? You know, it was started by this same speech of Jesus Christ recorded right here in this same chapter that I was reading a moment ago, in the 24th chapter of Matthew. As I mentioned a while ago, Jesus' disciples, and the word disciple means student or learner, they were his students that were being taught his gospel by him. And they came to him up on the Mount of Olives, privately. And they said, tell us, when shall these things be? He was telling them about things that were going to happen in the future. He was telling them how the temple there at Jerusalem was to be destroyed and torn down. He was telling them that he was going to depart and go to heaven after he had been crucified. They didn't altogether understand that at the time. But he told them that if he went, he was going away from the earth even, and if he went, he would come again and receive them unto himself. That's recorded in the 12th chapter of John. He told them these things, and that he was going to come again. He told them that this way of things was going to end. And so, they came to him, and they said, tell us, when shall these things be? When? They wanted to know, when is it going to happen? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? What will be the sign that will just precede his coming back to the earth again? And of the end of the world, or the consummation of the age. Now, this expression, the end of the world, that's where it comes from, right there, out of your Bible. And people talk a lot about it, and some sneer at it, some scoff, some jeer. Others believe it may happen. Well, it's going to happen, but what is the end of the world? What does it mean? Your marginal reference will give you another rendering that is better out of the Greek language in which it was originally written. This wasn't written in this King James English language originally. It was written in the Greek language. And in the margin you read, the consummation of the age, if you have a Bible with marginal references. That is a better translation. It means the end of the society that man has built in defiance of God and the laws of God. It means this whole society Now, it means our industrial and economic setup and system that is on the earth today. It means the religions of the world, some of whom call themselves Christianity. It's part of this world, my friends. You don't believe that. You're going to see it some of these days, and then you're going to know that God has sent an agent of his to tell you these things. A lot of you don't know that now, and you're not going to know it until these events happen, and then you will know that a servant of God was speaking to you and telling you these things that you have heard on no other program, you have heard from no other source in this world today, because they have been crushed out and snuffed out and trodden upon by a lot of pagan superstitions and traditions, and the world doesn't know it. Now, this society, this world, it's today's type of human government setups, its economic and business setups, its social customs and ways, its religious customs and ways, its educational systems. All of those things make up the pattern of society called the world. Sometimes it means the age in the Bible. And in a sense, there are two Greek words for it, and in a sense they both mean the same thing, because one means a definite duration of time. But it is that duration of time that God has marked out and allowed for mankind to set up his own civilization his own way. And the other word means, in English, it's a Greek word, but in English it means a pattern or a way of society. A pattern that's been set up. You've been born in this kind of a society. You have thought it was pretty good. You've gone along with it. Sometimes you wonder why people get sick, but you think that's natural. You wonder why people have heartaches and headaches and everything else, but it seems like we were made to be that way. And a lot of people think that God simply made man, if God made man. If they really believe that God made man, they believe that God made man, so it's natural for him to be sick about two-thirds of the time. It's natural for him to meet frustrations and to have fears and worries. It's natural for everything to go wrong. It's natural that there should be wars. It's natural that there should be strife and all of these things that bring on so much unhappiness. My friends, none of those things is natural. Every one of those things are coming by a violation of the laws that God set in motion to bring us peace and to bring us happiness and to fill our hearts with joy. That would be the natural way to live. But you know, God put a spirit and a nature in us, and the human nature, or the carnal mind, is enmity toward God. That is, it's hostile to God and to the ways of God. It thinks God's way is all wrong. It wants to go the other way, but it wants the result of God's way. But it doesn't want to go the way to get that result. And people don't know why. Conditions. They're like they are on this earth. Oh, I tell you, people are all mixed up. Well, now, here the disciples wanted to know about the sign precedes the second coming of Christ, and about the end of the world, the end of this pattern of society. Because when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. He's going to set up a different system, a different pattern. There will be different social customs. There will be a different system of economics and of commerce and industry and all that sort of thing. There will be a government of God, divine government from God Almighty the Creator through Jesus Christ. And the King of Kings on this earth and on down through others. For instance, the ancient prophet David will be resurrected from his grave, and he'll come back to life. And he will live as a glorified being, even as Jesus Christ is today, when Jesus Christ is now very God himself. And all power has been given to him. And David will rule over all of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, who will be restored to their original land at that time. And that means more than just the Jews going back to Palestine at the present time. A lot more. That's only a portion of Judah. And a small portion, I might add, too. And then all Israel and Judah will go back. And some of you don't quite comprehend that. You need to know your Bible a little better. And he's going to rule the nations with the laws of God. And the nations are going to come up and say, let's go up to the house of the kingdom of God, and he'll teach us his way. We'll walk in his paths, and then God's law is going out from Zion. That's what people don't want today. Why, even in the theology of the time, even in the religions, the various kinds of religions and churches that are called Christian today, the teaching all too often is the law is done away. God's laws are done away. We want man's ways and man's laws. And that's what's bringing all the wretchedness on this world, and people don't seem to know it or understand it. Well, the first thing that Jesus said would come would be preachers deceiving the people with false religions and false religious ideas. Many shall come in my name, that is, if I am a minister of Jesus Christ. They come in the name of Christ. Now, I'm coming to you in the name of Christ, too. And I'm coming by his authority. But you better find out which ones have really been sent by him and which ones have assumed it and merely pretend or claim that Christ sent them. Oh, I tell you, many of them really believe that Christ did. Many of them really believe they've been called of him. They're sincere. They're sincerely wrong. They're deceived themselves. And when the blind lead the blind, they're all both going to fall into ditch. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Oh, they will say that Jesus is the Christ. They will proclaim his name and shall deceive many because they do away with the very things that he proclaimed. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? What does the word Lord mean? It means master. It means the one you obey. But people don't want to obey Christ. They don't want to obey God, the Father. And Jesus didn't come with a different set of laws and things to obey than the Father. He said, I have kept my Father's commands. He kept his Father's commandments. Then again, he said that he had set us an example that we should do as he had done. And Peter said that we should follow his steps and so on. Now, people don't want to do that today. They merely want a gospel about the person of Christ today. Now, he went on to show what was going to happen and what was going to build up. And he told of this time of famine or great drought that was coming on the earth and the disease epidemic or pestilences that was going to follow that. And then great earthquakes in different places. And those are only the beginning of a terrible time of trouble. And we're in the beginning of those things now, but we haven't even come, finally, to the big climax of the drought and things of that sort. And the weather is playing all kinds of tricks, freakish weather, a revolution in the weather, everywhere around the world. No matter where you live in the world, you're having freakish weather. If you live over there in the, near the Sahara Desert, down in Egypt, or someplace like that, the Sahara Desert is expanding. And our deserts in North America are expanding. And then it's going to come this time of great tribulation. Now, my friends, are we getting nearer to these things? A lot of people say, well, you know, these things have always been this way. They've been like they are now. Why these things you're pointing out don't mean anything. Some people will say, look here, Mr. Armstrong, do you mean to tell me that we're getting now very close to the end of this world, or what it was called, the end of the world? Are we getting very close to the second coming of Christ? And I tell you, yes. Well, a lot of people laugh and they say, well, people have been saying that for a long, long time. That's true. They have. And look, let me just go back a while. You know, I used to wonder myself, and everybody else did, back there before World War II, some of us saw it coming. And we wondered, wouldn't that be the final war that would contain the battle at Armageddon? We've heard a lot about Armageddon, too, that is going to be the great battle of the day of God Almighty, right at the time of the second coming of Christ, at the time of the end of this age or this world, in the beginning of the happy world tomorrow. And I used to think, well, these things could happen very soon. Now, years ago, before I had really come to understand the truth better, I would hear ministers preach in a meeting, you know, the Lord could come yet this very night. Are you prepared, brother? Are you ready? You know, the Lord may come even before this meeting is broken up. The second coming of Christ could occur at any moment. You know, that was not true at all. No, a number of things had to happen first. Now I can tell you what those things are. I have a booklet here that'll tell you what is going to happen next, and after that, and after that. And a number of things now have to happen before the second coming of Christ. You see, so many people know just a little of the prophecies of the Bible. They don't know them all. Now, about one-third of all of the Bible is prophecy, but that's a lot of the Bible. And that's the neglected third. Very few know anything about it. Now, I used to think that this thing could happen almost any time, but listen. We had not yet come to the place where all human life could be wiped out of existence if God didn't step in and intervene. We didn't have hydrogen and atomic bombs in those days. We didn't have the guided missiles, and we didn't have jet planes and the means of sending these things from one part of the world to another and blasting human life off the face of the earth. My friends, we didn't have any condition like that. back before World War II, we didn't have any condition where the whole world could be blown up at the time. But today, even the world-famous scientists are telling you about it. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to think it's just something in biblical prophecy. The scientists are telling you about it today. And they're frightened, they're afraid, but most of you are not. Now, frankly, I'm not a bit afraid. I don't mean to terrorize you people listening. I'm not a bit afraid. I'm not terrorized. You know why? Because God Almighty has promised complete protection to everyone who will heed these things, who will lean on Him, who will surrender to God, who will let God come in and live their life for them, and Jesus Christ come in till they have the very mind of Christ, who will live by every word of God, accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and He does His saving work from within. And God has promised to protect us if we watch and pray always. But you've got to watch world events. You've got to be close to God. You've got to understand your Bible and spend a little more time with it. And if you do that, you have nothing to worry about. No matter what happens to all of the other people on earth, it will not come near you. Now, I'm not terrified, but I want to tell you, my friends, I would be if I didn't know the truth and if I didn't know that I had the protection of the Almighty God. Now, my friends, you live in the most tremendous times of all Earth's history. Vital prophecies of the Bible have been closed to human understanding, sealed until now. There is a vital key without which you can never understand biblical prophecy.
Because of the importance of this subject and other related topics, we are pleased to offer the following free literature. The United States and Britain are part of one of the most mysterious puzzles of all time. The prophecies of the Bible mention the ancient nations of Libya, Syria, and Ethiopia, but they seem to omit all reference to modern nations, such as the United States and Britain. How could such important nations be left out of inspired prophecy? This mysterious puzzle is unraveled in the full-length book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. This book reveals the true identity of these peoples from the pages of your Bible. And yet, it goes beyond past history and shows you what to expect in the future. If Bible prophecy leaves you puzzled, be sure to read The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Your copy is free of charge. There's no cost to it. The United States and Britain in Prophecy.